folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. We'll actually be moving away from the topic of Iran this hour, but not quite yet. Donald Trump is live right now taking questions about the conflict, so we're going to go to that live for the first 5 minutes. Then we'll be joined by Kelsey Sheeran at six after. But let's go to Donald Trump now live taking questions on the Iran conflict.
Over 1,000 missiles shot at it, knocked them almost all down. On the very first day I came down the escalator in 2015, I said, quote, I will stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons, and all I'm doing is keeping my promise. Think of that. That was in 2015. I said it. It was a threat then and a much bigger threat now, but no longer a threat, not for a long time anyway. We want to keep it that way. As we continue Operation Epic Fury, we're also focused on keeping energy and oil flowing to the world. And I will not allow a terrorist regime to hold the world hostage and attempt to stop the globe's oil supply. And if Iran does anything to do that, they'll get hit at a much, much harder level. I will take out those targets that were easy and that I mentioned just before. We'll take them out so quickly, they'll never be able to recover, ever. If they want to play that game, they better not play that game. In the long run, oil supplies will be dramatically more secure without the threat of Iranian ships, drones, missiles, nuclear menace, or anything. So the Strait of Hormuz is going to remain safe. We have a lot of Navy ships there. We have the best equipment in the world inspecting for mines. Again, most of their ships are down at the bottom of the sea. But we will hit them so hard that it will not be possible for them or anybody else helping them to ever recover that section of the world. They do anything. In recent years, the regime and its terror proxies have launched attacks on hundreds of commercial vessels. We're putting an end to all of this threat once and for all, and the result will be lower oil prices, oil and gas prices for American families. We've done that. We've done it. We brought it very low. This was just an excursion into something that had to be done. We're getting very close to finishing that, too. In the meantime, during this brief disruption, the United States is offering political risk insurance to any tankers operating in the Gulf. So we're putting up risk insurance.
All right, folks, that's Trump with a live address. We'll be back on the other side with Kelsey Sheeran in studio. Don't go anywhere.
want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm joined in studio by Kelsey Sheeran. She's a combat veteran, mental performance coach, and independent journalist. She's the host of The Kelsey Sheeran Perspective, a best-selling author, and a leading voice in the movement opposing Canada's MAID expansion. Medical assistance in dying, aka medical suicide. You can follow her Substack at Kelsey Sheeran and on X at Kelsey Burns. That's K-E-L-S-I Burns on X. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I fixed the X thing, by the way. Somebody taught me how I could actually change it. So just Kelsey Sheeran now. So I fixed
it. Oh, so it's just Kelsey Sheeran.
I fixed it now. I'm so grateful I could figure that out finally. So okay. Don't mind me.
But so on X at Kelsey Sheeran.
There it is.
K-E-L-S-I-S-H-E-R-E-N.
Nailed it.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Let's get into MAID, shall we? I mean, it is insane. You were here not that long ago, but even in the time between now and then, so much has developed. What is the latest with the drive to kill everybody in Canada?
Well, it's not. That's the worst part. Everybody says Kelsey opposes MAID in Canada. I oppose MAID across the globe. And in America's 13 states and one jurisdiction for 14 total, you guys are doing it too.
Right.
So, you know, I think the where we're at right now since I've been on, I know I've been on a few times since December, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to talk about it. So thank you. Is that we now have found so many really disgusting motives in America that are quite shocking to me. And I'm still waiting for RFK or Donald Trump to kind of step in and say, guys, we have to stop this, because just the same way that Canada slow rolled the program and allowed the ideology of the pro-death cult through dying with dignity to kind of come in the 90s and usher into our government, you guys have your own death group called Compassion and Choices. Isn't that a great name? So Compassion and Choices is an organization that is a nonprofit charity. It's under your, you know, your 5-0. And these are people who spend every waking minute of their life congregating to the tune of $33 to $35 million is what their current asset sits are. And what they do is they go and partner with people like the Rabin Group. Do you know who the Rabin Group is?
No.
Oh, you're going to love these.
Like,
fans.
I should.
I feel like you should. I feel like all of America should. So let me tell you about them, because we recently discovered their plans until 2028 for America. And so Compassion and Choices has now partnered again, $30 million organization.
Crazy.
And hired the Rabin Group. Now, this is a social cohesion. You know, these are the people that are responsible for your big protests. They work with, and they boast who they work with. So they've worked with the Obama Foundation, the Bill Gates Foundation, and there's a long laundry list. But ironically, Compassion and Choices isn't on their client list. But what they have stated in their own, this is what's crazy, it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. They talk about their plans, and what they are expecting to do over the next few years in America is expand MAID to over 50% of where the American population lives so that they can have access to MAID. So we talked about the states with you guys before, but it's important to know what they are again so that you can protect your loved ones, because, you know, the Rabin Group has made it very clear their incentive in this call working alongside them is to change social cohesion so that places that don't necessarily have legislation on the table can actually start to slow roll and target their community members to be comfortable with the idea of euthanasia, right, and physician assisted suicide, which is what America does. And that's just for track one. And they're targeting these areas of a high elderly density population. So the current states, I've said this before, I know you guys have heard it, but go with me. The current states right now, yeah, that's their lovely website, guys. So they have 13 states, one jurisdiction, so 14 total. So Michael Malice has been doing an incredible job. He actually just named my new book because he's brilliant and he calls it Killing Grandma. So thank you to him. He went on Rogan talking about these states for me because he said, look, everyone wants to bang on about Canada, but Kelsey's right. America is doing this and it's slow rolling it as a form of healthcare. So currently California, Colorado, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York is your newest, Oregon and Vermont, Washington and Washington, D.C. Now, the reason it's important to note about these is because Oregon and Vermont do not have a residency requirement.
Oh.
So anyone in America, say you're from Texas, say you've become compassionate toward the idea of euthanizing your grandma, you can take a one-way flight to Oregon or Vermont and get qualified by two very sick maid assessors who get paid an ungodly amount of money to say that you're okay to die. And then they'll set a cup in front of grandma and grandma drinks the poison. So that's what's crazy about that. Now, the point that we should be paying attention to, because there is actual legislation on the table in America right now, and they have plans, and I quote, this is right from Compassion and Choices. By 2028, half of the U.S. adult population will live where medical aid in dying is accessible. And they politically planned legislative campaigns for 18 states in 2016. And in key states such as Nevada, Virginia, and Florida, even though Florida doesn't have legislation yet, the current ones that do have legislation on the table, this is crazy to me, Virginia, Tennessee, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Minnesota, Mass, Kentucky, Iowa, Arizona, and India. Now tell me, friend, what do they all have in common in those areas, potentially?
Oh, good question. Well, a lot of retirees.
Ah, we're nailing it.
Yes.
And they're only targeting track one, which is all your terminally ill or elderly population. So, you know, I just had this conversation with Constantine Kissin and Francis Foster like an hour ago. And there was one point that was really good to illustrate was much like the trans movement towards children and mutilating children. They start here, right? They start targeting kids and going up. And what these death cults do is they target top down. So if you can convince grandma that she should end her life, now what's going to happen is you have all of the elderly in that family and family members and children all going, well, grandma did it. So it's okay then when mom needs it. So it's okay then when we go to mature minors. You see what I'm saying? So trans went up, we're going down, and we're meeting in the middle. Now, Canada itself, we are about to, and I think people have seen this now, it went viral the past couple of weeks. I'm so grateful. Zuby, I went on Zuby's podcast and we discussed it. Canada is about to cross the 100,000th murder in less than 10 years. We're estimating between April and June of when that target's going to hit. And then after that, we're expecting 110,000 deaths by the calendar end of 2026. Now, that is without expanding to the mentally ill. Mental illness comes on the table March of 2027.
Wow.
So we are expecting a rapid uptick in 2027. And then the parliamentary AdMed report, this is important to note for people who have children in Canada. AdMed report was done by the Parliamentary of Canada where they looked at mature minors, they looked at mate expansion. And in Canada, we don't have parent consent, meaning like our government can take our kids.
Right.
Like it's pretty clear. Everyone knows that. So a group of cardio moms reached out to me from Sick Kids Children's Hospital. I've been involved with Sick Kids before because there's an individual named Adam there. We call him Adam R. We don't say his last name. I don't want to be sued, even though he's quite public about it. He's the head of the PICU team for a lot of these children's families. And Adam was the head of a friend of mine's daughter's PICU team, Vea. And she was moved out of the hospital for a reason. He advocates on the board of CanMap, which is the people who train all of the doctors to kill people. And he's advocating for mature minors while running and participating at one of the largest children's hospitals. Now, that's important because the AdMed report stated very clearly that the government of Canada establishes a requirement where appropriate, the parents and guardians of a mature minor, which is down to age of 12, by the way.
Yep.
And that's also where you ironically lose consent to your children's medical decision making and access to files, also at 12. No coincidence there. The mature minor may be consulted in the course of an assessment process for MAID, but the will of the minor who is found to have the requisite decision-making capacity ultimately will take priority. Parents and guardians may or may not be even consulted.
It sounds too bad to be true, right? Because what you're describing is, like, as parents, one day you get a letter from the hospital saying your kid came to us, said they were sad, and we killed them. Like, right. That's what it's – I mean, it's, like, too horrible to believe.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm misunderstanding that.
No, you're not. So this, the reason I bring papers with me, I know so many shows I hate when I do it, but I do it because the stuff that we're talking about is not an off-the-cuff opinion. Right. It is not me making something up to be emotive or get clicks or do any of those things. It's very clearly stated in our own parliamentary reports and our own documentation and paperwork. So it's always best when I read directly from what the government is saying, so I cannot be taken out of context. Very clearly, Sick Kids removes consent. Majority of hospitals remove consent at 12 years old and access to your child's medical records. Period. Full stop. Have proof of it. Posted it. The AMED report itself is very clear. That means in 2023 and before that, they were already discussing adding children. So when people like Dying with Dignity or Compassion and Choices and the government argues, this is just for grandma. This is just for grandma. Yeah, that's one of those pamphlets we found. And it's not. It's never been just for grandma. And you even have senators, your own state senators, stating, we just need to get this legalized here and we will expand and amend as we go.
Right.
So they've told us their plan. They've made it very clear. But there is hope in Alberta. So this is about to come out. It's not out yet. But I have been told I can discuss it. The Alberta government reached out to me and said, hey, we're about to do something. Can you just kind of give people a heads up? So Alberta is going to be putting a bill forward and trying to stop track two in their province.
Oh, good.
So track two is your non-foreseeable death. That is your mature minors. That is your mentally ill. That is basically we just kill grandma there.
Okay.
I'm still not okay with it.
Right.
But here's what I've had to come to grips with is you cannot stop a bullet train. You have to slow it first. Mm. So I am optimistic that where we are going with this is that there will be a province that potentially has its head on straight and that I'm hoping other provinces will follow suit because right now it goes Quebec, Ontario, and British Columbia, and that is where we kill the majority of the citizens that are being poisoned to death by their doctors. Now, it's important to also state that like where we're at right now, I found something that was... You think that I come on with positive news, but I found something that was really gross 2 days ago when prepping to come down here. And I found out the billing codes that doctors and assessors and how much per billing code per patient they're allowed to use and what they make on average. Is that something you would like to do?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the hell they get $100,000 for vaccinating enough people. So, yeah. Their incentive structure is not always the most pleasant thing to read. So this is the like a doctor in Canada performs MAID and this is how they bill it to the insurance company or I guess
Canada
since
Canada.
It's all okay. So, so this is the code that they use to bill for MAID.
Yeah, so how it works, right, is you need two MAID assessors, which are different, hypothetically different people.
Okay.
And so each one that they can bill for that situation, which, by the way, Canada now in the last 2024 report states that we have 2,266 MAID killers in the country. And by the way, they won't put them all on a list because they know I'll find it.
Right.
They will not list these people. You have to independently find them. So I'm working on that right now. But roughly out of the all of those doctors doing MAID, 350 are doing the majority of the 100,000 deaths that have happened. Well, if you're doing an average, okay, say there's 55% of these three doing all of these deaths, follow the math with me. That's like an average of like 214 kills each. Okay, that's 214. And the FBI defines a serial killer right. as two or more, right? Okay. Now, if you're, say you're doing that, you got 100,000, 55% of these 100,000 deaths are performed by 350 physicians. Well, that's, you know, 55,000 procedures. Even if you break it down further and say they only kill 157 people. Well, you know, you can charge about $1,800 to $1,000, right? Because an assessment is, you know, roughly $300. And then a MAID procedure is between, you know, $300 to $500, depending on your qualifications. So on average, it's about, you know, $800, $826 if you do one assessment and one procedure and one set of drugs. Not both assessments, but that's if you do one, and one. The drugs are $147. The average person somebody could make for murdering 157 Canadian souls is $161,710 a year. So six figures. And then you have Ellen Weeb, who admits to over 1,000 deaths, and that's roughly over $800,000. And don't worry, she's been doing abortions for 40 years prior to that.
Right.
And an abortion in Canada is between $200 and $400.
That's wild.
And that's what you bill. So the reason that's important, guys, is because this is not just a moral issue, which we already all struggle with, or if you have a mind, you do. But this is now a financially incentive. Forget what the government's right. going to save. Now, what are the doctors actually making their practices on? And then the Keanu story we spoke about last time I was here, you know, the 26-year-old that kind of went viral. And, you know, I spoke more to Margaret about it, his mom, and I said, like, do you have the receipts of the drugs? She goes, yeah, because when he flew to British Columbia, he had to go pick up and buy his own drugs.
Oh, wow.
And then I decided to be cheeky. I was curious. I knew he was mated in a funeral home. He wasn't mated in a hospital or in a care facility. He drove himself to a funeral home. So I made a video calling that funeral home. And within 2 minutes, I found out how easy it was to be killed for roughly $300 to $500 at a funeral home, and the doctor will meet you there when you bring your own drugs. And they can even, my friend, they can even handle the cremation there too. So
one-stop shop.
It's a one-stop shop. And so, like, look, I said this earlier today. We can have the moral conversation of, can a society handle a program like this? Canada has proved we cannot.
Right.
So then why is the American government, and which, by the way, let me be very clear, husband's American, love America, served with America. I would like to live in America.
Right.
But why, guys? Why are we at a point where a Canadian podcaster has to sound an alarm so loud and you're still not paying attention? Because Gavin Newsom, which I'm sure everyone in this building loves, Gavin Newsom just recently admitted that he was a participant in illegally mating his own mother in 2002.
Really? I did not know that.
Nobody knows that, even though he wrote about it in his own memoir, and it's also been reported by the Washington Post.
And of course, California is where they're already setting the table for 12-year-olds are in charge of their own medical.
Right. So, but here's the thing with that, though, right? You have a governor who actually said himself, in his own words, I hate her for making me participate in that because it was so traumatic.
Right.
But then he rolls the program into California in 2015 and 2016. So what's the incentive if you've participated in, again, it was not legal till 2015, 2016. And in 2002, he participated in mating his own mom. There it is. God, whoa. I love you guys.
I hated her for it. That's wild.
Right. But why? This is February this year. Why am I the only one talking about this?
Yeah, that's insane. Well, and actually, that was my next question, was like, what is the motivation? Because I can understand being against this and wanting to put your full, you know, like you are, just like dedicating your life to fighting this because it's
sorry.
So evil. But it's like, who is paying tens of millions of dollars? But who is driven to push this? Who is like taking this on as a righteous cause? Like, What is the incentive for that? That's wild.
Listen, again, it goes back to the spiritual warfare thing in a real way. So we don't have to get we don't have to be conspiratorial about it. You know, you've got the eugenic side of things, which we already knew failed miserably. And now Canada is about to hit numbers bigger than World War II.
Right.
You know, forget the Holocaust. People came at me and they said, well, you're comparing it to the Holocaust. I said, in no way am I comparing this to the Holocaust. I'm comparing it to the eugenics program that was utilized to kill 200,000 German, by Germans, mentally ill and disabled people.
Yeah.
And Canada has now hit the 100,000th. We're about to, correction. So if we can't see the correlation here and we cannot learn from history and we cannot understand that there is a financial incentive by the government to save money, there is a financial incentive by the pharmaceutical companies to provide the poison, and there is a financial incentive by the doctors to change all of their practices to easily billable. You know what? I know a doctor who does 4 to 6 a day.
Oof.
So they go, dude, that's stripper money.
That's wild.
But think about the amount. Think about that. $800 on average a patient. You pop a few of those a day. And you do that every day, 5 days a week.
I could do it for less than that.
I know, right? Well, we all could. But
I mean, but I, not to make light of it, but it's
no,
like
but
they are
go.
Literally killing. They are literally people are coming in. They're killing them.
Yes.
They're getting a check. And
yes.
Then they go home at night. And that's they're just like, I'm a doctor. And, like, what?
And they go on vacation. Crazy. They take their kids to Disneyland. They, you know, and this is my point is like, forget the money. Forget the money. We're doing the same approach we allowed. I'm just early to it. So it sounds crazy. This is why when people say, but Kelsey, it's just for grandma. And I said this to Constantine too. He goes, do you think there's a world? I said, that's what palliative care and hospice are supposed to be for.
Right.
But we're defunding those.
Right.
So is it free will if CanMap, who teaches the doctors how to kill people, has sold a protocol to Health Canada, which by the way, they did, and is a charity, but doesn't let us see the IP in which they're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So is it free will and free understanding and consent if we don't know actually what's being taught to the doctors, how they're feeding information, how they're utilizing it as a tool? And then why are we so okay with all of a sudden our organ donations skyrocketing through the roof?
I was going to mention that too. That's because that's another money aspect as well.
Oh my gosh. And that's what we're seeing because even after you use the drugs, right? Even if you're mated outside. So I'm going to start calling it what it is. If even if you've been medically murdered outside of the hospital and it's been done at home in a peaceful way where all of your grandkids watch, which is sick. If they move you quickly enough, they can grab the organ still.
Right.
If not, they're done in the hospital and then they wait for the time of death and then they wheel you in and they cut you open and take you for parts.
It's sad that I'm like trying to think of like, well, what if we ban, you know, organ harvesting? Then it's like we shouldn't even be negotiating this. Like we got to put a hard stop to this and just roll it. Not even a hard stop. We have to roll this back where it's been introduced. It has to be repealed.
Well, and so that's my point of why I'm so damn grateful for this platform. I get so much crap for coming on here, but I'm telling you, I'm so grateful for InfoWars and for you guys because it shouldn't take some Canadian veteran who's just found something that makes me severely uncomfortable to come down and say, you guys are walking into a death trap. And I am praying one day we get a phone call that says, come educate these people really quickly, because if not, 18 more states. And here's once these laws are in, you know how hard it is to repeal a law and bring it back and pull it back. But you have a chance. You guys have how many? 51?
50 states.
You have 50 states. Sorry.
So far.
Well, because you have districts too. So sometimes I get a little
wonky. And Greenland will be added soon.
I can't wait. Can you add us? Can I come?
Well, yeah, that actually might be happening.
I mean, I would love that. I would super love some sort of political asylum and I would move in a heartbeat. But
we have much more than half the states don't have this yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And this is my point is, yes, I'm early and I sound crazy to the listeners, but I promise you, if I come and say something, I have the data, the reports, the proof, the evidence that this will not stop at killing grandma.
Yeah.
This will go to what we are discussing, which is mental illness alone in March of 2027 and mature minors, which are babies and children. And the College of Physicians has stated we should start euthanizing 0 to 1 for major mental, major illnesses. So they have a good quality of life.
Yep. Yep. No. And that's another one of the stories that broke in between the last time you were here and We're going to get a bunch of these. I've just been thinking about them as we've been talking. We'll print them out during the break.
Yeah.
Because that's just one of them. Yeah, literally assisted suiciding babies. And again, the people that are pushing this, inexplicable though it may be, they are like dedicated to this. They are pushing it hard. If they can't get it through this bill, they'll put it in the next one. They're lobbying for this. They are in your state house right now trying to slow roll this and convince your authorities to at least let them get the foot in the door, because after that, you know, they get free run. So it's up to us, and it's up to people like my guest, Kelsey Sheeran, to be the opposition force, to go into the state house and lay out the facts for the legislatures. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate-level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishealingstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishealingstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishealingstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishealingstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Band.video, probably one of the only outlets covering what is just a jaw-dropping story. Well, just a series of jaw-dropping stories about MAID, medical assistance in dying in Canada, coming here and the really long overdue mission to stop it from coming here. Kelsey Sheeran is helping to lead that fight. You can find her on X at Kelsey Sheeran. That's K-E-L-S-I-S-H-E-R-E-N. She's also on Substack. Just search her name there. We're just looking up some of the stories in the break here. Canada may start euthanizing babies. That's the headline from lifenews.com. And like, it makes sense that the people trying to push this here, they know that if you start with this, it's not going to fly. You can't start with, we're going to kill babies in the infirm. You have to start with, we're going to let grandma pass in the way that she wants. But obviously that's a strategy. And it's almost, it's like offensive that they would state that that's their strategy, because they just know. They know what they're doing is evil. They know people wouldn't accept it. They know they have to boil them like a frog in water slowly over time until they have us in their grasp. It is so deceitful and subversive. It's evil.
Yeah,
in so many ways.
It's not a shock at this point, right? Because when the enemy shows you who they are, you have to believe them the first time. It's kind of like the same sort of, you know, idea around radical Islam and what we've seen now, right? I said this from overseas when I came home and people are like, well, you're awfully racist. I said, no, when the enemy shows you who you are, believe them the first time. You shouldn't have to keep learning. And so this is where we're at, right? So like I said to you before the break, when you have the trans ideology come up and get children, it's only natural we start now going top down and we meet in the middle at 12. And so it's not a coincidence that now we're talking about this. I mean, this has been discussed before, but it had been brought up again. That's Dying with Dignity's lovely children's book there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have brought it up before, where they said, you know, look, we are going to be naturally moving this in a direction where people are going to be wanting this. And I said, well, I don't think that's the truth. I don't think people want to euthanize their babies, but turns out no different than people wanting to transition their children. It's an ideology. It's a cult mindset. It's I want to be a part of that. And then you have things like Munchausen by proxy and really looking at how do people fit in. And from a society's perspective, I get it. Nobody wants to see a child suffer. But when you have the College of Physicians from Quebec stating this, that we should start having discussion around euthanizing children from 0 to 1. They're not talking about, you know, healthy children. They're actually saying, well, what if they're born with something like spinal bifida?
Right.
You know, their quality of life is going to be poor. But I'm sorry. I know plenty of individuals.
Go talk to Leela Hart.
This is my point. Who are you to tell a 6-month-old that they're going to have a terrible quality of life? Isn't healthcare supposed to continue to improve time over time? People who are paralyzed, don't we have hope with Neuralink? Do we not have hope with other different products and things and medical innovations? Should we be just so quick to say that we should be killing children? Because again, be clear on the language. We're not removing suffering. We're euthanizing people with a poison that is not studied for killing. And the last time it was during the eugenics movement. And it would just happen to be utilized during the World War II time.
And just like as against it as I am, you can at least argue that people over 18 that are of sound mind are making their own decision. And if they want to kill themselves, really, there's not a lot of ways for us to stop it.
But what do we understand about the prefrontal cortex and the frontal lobe in development in children?
Yep.
You do not have a fully developed frontal lobe until you're what, 25?
Well, right. And that's my point. And so, you know, anybody from 12 to 25 it's kind of debatable whether they're, you know, capable, especially, I mean, have you been in high school? Has anybody here been in high school and maybe been in a relationship perhaps? Like your emotions literally are as fluctuating as they'll ever will be. Your hormones are firing on all cylinders. We're being messed up from the poison, the food and water anyway. So we're sort of dysfunctional from the outset. But right, that was my point, was that as a baby, I mean, you cannot frame it as anything other than murder. You can't even make the argument that, well, you know, they did want to die and we're just, you know, helping them do it in a safe way. No, these are babies. You are literally just murdering them. The idea that they could consent isn't even reality. So it's just murder.
Well, it is. And so, and then there's the argument that people have with me. Well, if they have informed consent, again, what is informed consent when the doctors are being taught a protocol and program that Health Canada can't legally see, that our tax dollars have paid for, and we can't even see? It's a closed, tight network, meaning CanMap has a conference, which, by the way, if any of you would like to protest it, it's happening in Montreal the end of April. I can't go. I'm popping a baby out. But you could go. It's in Montreal. I talked about it on Redacted. I said to Clayton, I said, feel free to go. You have to be a doctor to attend, but you don't to be outside.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, this is where all of your doctors, the 2,200 doctors who are people who kill people, as part of their medical practice, are going to be discussing how to roll out and how to integrate this into society, how to speak about it, how to promote it, how to help people accept the idea as healthcare we should be killing people. And this is my argument. We are supposed to be the globe's gold standard of healthcare. So is it free will and actual choice if every other thing we do. So say, for example, I have terminal cancer, right? Well, you're more than likely going to die on a waiting list to see a doctor in Canada. 23,000 right. people die a year. That's not even including the people who leave the waiting rooms and die in the waiting rooms.
Oh my God.
Okay, so say I have terminal cancer and I need to see a doctor. Well, what if I can't see them in time and now it becomes, it goes from like stage four to fully terminal. Okay, now we're in this hallway here. Now, what if you tell me I can't get access to, say I want to have ivermectin. Say I want ivermectin instead of a standard, you know, whatever it is.
You want to try something experimental.
I want to do something a little different. And the answer is no. So, okay, so now I'm going down further down the path. Now they say, well, we can't get you hospice or palliative care because, well, we don't have enough beds and enough funding. Okay, so now I'm at the end and I'm in excruciating pain and I don't have another solution, all because I wasn't given actual healthcare, actual medical support. Is it then still free will and choice if that's the only solution they're giving you is death?
Right.
So this is where I'm trying to understand people's argument. They say, but I see in a world where Kelsey, and look, I get it. I see in a world where, why can't you have compassion? Nobody wants to have, you know, this whole conversation around grandma can't function, can't eat her, she can't open her eyes. I am the most empathetic towards it, and genuinely so, because the difference between me and the death community is that person raised you, looked after you, put all their money into you, all their time into you, and brought you into this world. Do you not owe it to them to do the same thing as they leave? When we have this program in Canada called the Special Access Program, which is one of the hardest in the world to get access to, but it's regulated psilocybin. I'm actually one of the recipients of that program for treatment-resistant depression.
Right.
Out of like 180 people, I was given it after thousands of dollars in lawyers and proving that I was treatment resistant. Health Canada's option to me was electroshock therapy. So before they would give me a mushroom. But what do we understand about end of life? We understand through Johns Hopkins and Harvard and all this amazing research done in America, because you're allowed to study it.
Yeah.
That regulated psilocybin in the right set and setting with your loved ones, with your family, with a pastor, with whomever you want, can be incredibly healing and helping you come to grips with what it means to be leaving this earth.
Yeah.
But we don't offer that. We can do MAID same day for track one. Within 24 hours, if you are a track one recipient and you get two MAID assessors, you can be killed same day. And we have over 200 patients that were killed that way in the Ontario Coroner Report.
How much do you think this is just purely a money thing where they just ran the numbers and they went, we provide, you know, end of life health care. Most of the money goes to the last 10 years of somebody's life. Yep. If we just kill them 10 years earlier, we save that much money. I mean, it's sickening to think that that's how these decisions are being made. It's obviously a contributing factor. How much do you think is this just the consequence of socialized medicine and money? At the end of the day.
Well, if we want to get dark and sinister, let's go there. So there was a research study done by Western University, these two guys, and they did a if situation. So I'm very clear, because it was when I talked about it on Jillian Michaels, it went super viral. And they're like, we were only doing an if situation. That wasn't real. And I was like, but the law's going that way. So yeah. Is it if or more of a when?
Right.
And they broke down the amount of people they think over 2027 to 2047, so when made for mental illness, medical murder for mental illness, up to 2047. And they ran the numbers based on the Indigenous people, the amount they would, the suicidal people, the mentally ill, the homeless, and then the elderly. And they came to a financial figure of $1.273 trillion.
Ooh.
So anything with a T in front of it, friend, or a B, makes me think there's a lot of incentive financially. Now, that's not even just, that's just with the government of Health Canada. If, again, I said if, they keep going, because this is where these groups come at me. If that is where we're going, which legislation looks as if it is, if it does, and that is the amount of money, that's just what the government stands to save. And you know that Carney loves to give another 2.5, a few billion here, a few billion there to Ukraine and all of our weapon systems like we just did. Oh, and $100 million grant to Indian students, but not white people.
Right.
So that's not even what the doctors are making. That's not even what the doctors are making.
Right. That's just saving on things that they're not supplying later.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in this, what you're kind of looking at here, this citizen here, right? This is Canada saying, you know, in less than 10 years... less than 10 years, we're going to hit 100,000 deaths. That means your doctors in Canada have killed over 100,000 people. Do we understand that? Are we clear about that? That is not a few people. Like, do you remember during COVID when they shut stuff down, when they said 10,000 people have died from COVID? Well, Canada, we don't have the full figure for 2025 yet, but the most accurate figure we do have is 2024. That's 16,499. We're estimating over 17,000 for 2025. And again, in 2023, 4,528 track one deaths were same day. That means no family could step in.
That's crazy.
Nobody could set up palliative care. Nobody could set up hospice. Nobody could make a plan for grandma and grandpa. And that's 5% of the cases were same day deaths in 2023 alone. So that means that 4,000 people applied in the morning and were dead by bedtime.
No waiting period. No consultation with the family. Although that can get kind of iffy, right? Because we've seen who's the woman? Who's the angel of death woman?
Oh, Ellen Weeb.
Ellen Weeb.
She's who killed Keanu.
And she's the one who says, you know, well, the biggest hurdle to get over is often the family. Yes. They're not okay with it. So, like, literally you have families like, don't kill my family member. And she's like, oh, you're a barrier to get over.
Yes.
But then on the other hand, you have a story from not too long ago of a husband who basically murdered his wife with the doctor. And the wife didn't want to do maid.
Mrs. B.
But the husband said, well, I can't take care of you anymore, so... Like old Yeller behind the barn. I mean, So the families, you know, I guess it can go either way, but there's actually, I mean, can you tell us that story? What happened there?
Yeah. So I actually am writing about this one in the new book because Mrs. B's story is one of those warning signs for people. Dr. Ramona Coella, she's on the Ontario, she looks at the Ontario Coroner reports, but she's, you know, she's within the maid death review committee, brilliant doctor. And she goes, there is a non-compliant list that we're looking at of over 400 people. Mrs. B was one of these ones. Okay. Mrs. B had applied originally for maid, but then made a decision that she no longer wanted it. Okay. And instead of them saying, you know what, you're right. We get it. You've changed your mind. That's okay to make a different decision. She based it on her religion. She said, you know what? I've made a choice. I don't actually want to do this. Brilliant. Love that for you. Beautiful. And then what ended up happening is that she actually was maided the same day. They couldn't get her hospice in time. They couldn't get her palliative care because they've been defunding these places like the Delta Hospice. People have seen her talk about Angelina Ireland. They defunded her because she refused to do maid at her facility.
Right. You talked about that last time.
Right. And so this is important because if we can't get a doctor's appointment, we can't get an orthodontist appointment, we can't get an eye doctor appointment, we can't even get into an ER same day.
Right.
Why is it that we're so quick to have access for these people to come in and assess her?
That's a great question.
And then kill her. And so she was killed same day, even though she revoked and pulled back her rights. So when people say, well, Quebec is doing this thing called advance requests. Okay. So say one of us, you and I, know we have the genetic component for Alzheimer's. And we're like, you know what? I'm going to sign a document now. Okay. I'm going to sign it now so that when I'm 70 and I'm really like gone and I can't make the decisions for myself, just, you know, put me out to pasture kind of vibe. Right. Well, that happened in Europe. Okay. So that happened to a lady in Europe. It's actually the very first story I wrote about in the book because it's so important. She had made the choice, did an advance request, and this is what Quebec is doing now. Okay. And in that advance request, she said she wanted maid. Well, she went to the doctor and the doctor put a sedative in her coffee and didn't tell her. And then they started the procedure with the family around. Well, this grandmother actually came to consciously mid-procedure and the doctor had the audacity and has been cleared, by the way, and said to the family, please hold her down while I finish. And the family held her down while they finished euthanizing her. So if you tell me that's not some form of murder, I don't know how I can have a very simple conversation with you about it. You know, right before I came here, you know, I made the mistake of engaging on Twitter. And I thought, well, Michael Malice is good at it. I wonder if I could be funny too. I can't. Turns out I'm not a funny person, in case you guys haven't noticed. And ironically, I'm sitting there and this person tags me in something and I started laughing and I was like, are you serious? It's the Toronto Raptors content creator.
Okay.
Just did a tweet about me calling me an idiot.
the like basketball team? Or?
Yeah, the NBA's Toronto Raptor content creator. It literally just went viral because it just got picked up. I didn't know this was going to happen. But he went at me saying that, like, I'm uneducated and that this is fine and that we should be able to do this and all these things. And I actually went back at him. Anyway, it just got picked up. It's going completely viral. But the point is you're going to have people in the country where you live that are, because they've been so manipulated and slow dripped and told by doctor after doctor after doctor that this is the right thing to do to grandma, that they, again, he's the younger one and he had older people use it. And so now he's arguing with me on Twitter, not knowing who I am.
And it's being normalized. Yeah.
And it's being normalized.
Yeah.
So it's like trans, we got it normalized. And then we finally caught up. Trump caught up and was like, hey, we're going to stop it. But now this is their blind spot. This is Trump's blind spot. And this is obviously Mark Carney's blind spot because he needs the money. We need the money to go give it to Ukraine. We need the money to give it to the Indian people. We need the money to give it everywhere else but Canadians. So when people say, Kelsey, this is not actually happening, this isn't as bad as you think, I'm just early.
Yeah.
And so I need people to wrap their brain around one in 20 people. So if there's 20 people in this building right now, which there definitely is, one of those people is going to die by MAID, statistically.
That is astonishing. Yeah, 5% of the deaths are from MAID. And once it gets implemented, it's so much more difficult to ever extricate. So we need people now in America, like at least one person from every state needs to raise their hand and go, I'll handle it for Nevada. I'll handle it for Ohio, where you just keep your eye on the legislation. And when anything with MAID comes up, you got to go talk to your state house, because I guarantee the representatives in there, they aren't like excited to kill people, you know, as corrupt as a lot of them are, they're human beings. And but if all they have is some very well put together professional, a doctor from Canada coming down and saying, look, this is how it's done, it's very simple and easy and wonderful and there's no problems, vote yes, and then leaves, you have to come in after and go, let me tell you what really happens once this is implemented. They only have the other side in their ears right now. We need to be the other people. You cannot.
Yeah, that's the guy right there.
Expect other people. Raptors Shaq.
I know. So he's the content creator for the Toronto Raptors for the NBA. And I said, dude, this can't be good for you to be doing this. And then it got picked up by Urban Canada. It's getting picked up all over. And right before I came here, I went, oh no, the NBA is going to hate this.
That's wild. And okay, people say crap like this and still believe they're a good, okay, so you're a bad person.
I'm
for
a bad
writing
person.
This.
And I'm also super incorrect.
It's one thing to be incorrect, another thing to be incorrect. Okay, so you're incorrect, cruel, and not a good person. Hold on, go back, guys. I want to read her tweet. We got to find out what makes her bad. So click on her tweet. You say, that person, if you understood the drugs, was paralyzed with lungs filled with fluid and drowned to death. Enjoy that reality.
I'm really harsh about it.
I mean, well, because it's a harsh thing. You're just describing what's actually happening.
I know, because I'm done. This is what happens when you change verbiage and you change language.
Yep.
And I'm done sugarcoating this. This is medical murder. This is giving up on your society. This is telling people they should quit and die. And then they should accept that killing grandma is the easy way out. We have the double blind. You can provide in hospice and palliative care a way so that patients are maybe are given a little more morphine and they slowly slip with their loved ones there. Why are we scheduling this like it is an elective breast surgery?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to come down on people making these decisions, but when people come to me and say, Grandpa looked peaceful, he was so still and so peaceful, I said, because they paralyzed you first.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing peaceful about a paralytic.
I mean, the whole thing is, here's another stat that's pretty interesting that goes along to the point I was about to make.
Yeah.
I had to euthanize my dog about a month ago. It was like the hardest thing ever. And obviously, it's all the more difficult because you can't communicate with them. But it's like, who are these people that are so cavalier about taking a human life? It was like torture to put down my dog, who clearly, you know, it was time, obviously, but it's like the fact that they care less about humans than dogs. And by the way, in 2021, nearly 10,000 Canadian people were euthanized. In 2021, a total of 9,842 Canadian people were euthanized. Only 2,000 shelter dogs in Canada were put down that year.
Yeah.
So five times as many human beings are euthanized in Canada as dogs, because there are no kill shelters. There are people that will.
Oh, there are. They're called MAID House. There's one in Victoria and one in Toronto. All they do is kill people. There's also Shoreline.
Oh, well, that's the opposite.
Paul's Hospital.
Well, but you know, dogs at least have people advocating for them and saying, hey, we shouldn't euthanize dogs. Right. Where are the humans saying, let's not euthanize humans?
Well, and listen, so this was the argument. So I was really lucky. So Michael Malice called me and he goes, look, I think I need to talk about this publicly because I think it's important that people understand it. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're more people, I guess, like you better than me. And so like, talk about it, please. So he actually went on Joe Rogan. He went on Rogan a couple weeks ago and he goes, you know, he was talking to him and he said, Joe, look, like, do you know about the MAPE program? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, but Joe's response was, yeah, but what was wrong with her? Like, why did she need it? Because we don't want someone to suffer. And I agree with Joe. What was wrong where we needed to euthanize them? But where my line is our society cannot be trusted with this because it's euthanizing everybody.
Yeah.
This is not just grandma anymore. And it was funny because Malice pushed back and he goes, right, Joe, because do you remember when we started allowing people to wearing dresses and now we had to affirm their gender? Do you see where that goes?
Right.
Do you see where this goes?
Why can people not see the patterns and stop them before? It's like we're going to sit here. They're going to implement MAPE. It's going to get really bad. And then people are going to realize and fight back. Why not fight back right now before it gets there?
And then I'm going to seem like a lunatic for saying, I told you so. And you didn't listen to the loud lady.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I have empathy and I agree with what Joe was saying. Nobody should suffer on the end of their life, but we should be giving palliative care and hospice. And just for record, it's not, as Joe said, but we put dogs down. It's not the same. Actually, as putting dogs down, this was the clip here. It was not the same. We don't use pentobarbital. We do not use drugs that stop the heart right away. We use a cocktail that's never been studied, never been researched, all created by a doctor who was apparently used to deliver babies, but now had the audacity to create a protocol, sell it to Health Canada, and we can't see the IP.
Right.
So it's like, that's my pushback. It's like, Joe, but I hear you, but we don't euthanize the same way we kill dogs. And it's still killing. But like, again, there's a time and a place for an animal. I've had to put dogs down. It's the worst thing in the world. But it is not the same drugs. It's not the same protocol.
It's just not the same situation, even in the slightest. I forgot to bring this up. I should have brought it up earlier. But the other thing is that like 95% of the people killed in Canada are white.
96 and 96. America's 95.
So I think that's an aspect that maybe needs to be talked about, too.
I mean, listen, apparently I can't talk about it because I'm white. So, but let's talk about it really briefly. Right now, 96% of the individuals of the 100,000 that have utilized the medical murder program in Canada are white. In America, 95% are. Do we think that's a coincidence that India is now partnered and China is now partnered with Canada and they're looking at bringing in millions and millions and millions and millions of more? Because what we do know about those populations is they don't put people in nursing homes. Yeah. They don't kill grandma. Okay.
Right.
They actually let grandma die. And we brought my other half here last time. And I said to him, please never put me in a nursing home. And he looked at me and he said, honey, I'm black and American. We don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that.
Right. But white people have been convinced.
White people have been convinced nursing homes is where they should go. And then that's where they slip in and convince them that it's easier to die.
It's so gross. Yeah. I mean, it's not like 95% of the people in Canada are white.
No.
It's massively an over-representation. Finally, an over-representation of white people that the powers are fine with. They're fine. There's no diversity in MAPE. Maybe that could be a good move. Diversity in MAPE. Get people to sign petitions to say we need to be killing more black and brown people.
Oh my God, I can't say that.
I mean,
oh my God.
That's what MAPE is, right? And if it's good for us, isn't it good for everybody? If not, maybe we need to rethink some things.
Harrison said it.
Hey, it's... I'm making a point here. I think it's a good point. If it's such a good thing for white people, wouldn't it be good for everybody else? No, it's evil for everybody. And it has to stop for everybody. Kelsey Sheeran, thank you.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at theelectionstore.com that'll 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexfordstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexfordstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, It's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill. A strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to say 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.